to Amazing Individuals. We are your hosts, Lisa and Kurt Noble. On our podcast, we highlight people with intellectual disabilities and the people that support them. This podcast is sponsored by a great friend from Special Olympics. Welcome to another episode of Amazing Individuals, where we talk to individuals with intellectual disabilities and the people that support them. On today's episode, we will be talking with our good friend, Jenny Fortner. Jenny serves on the Special Olympics International Board of Directors Executive Team and is a past board chair of Special Olympics Illinois, where she served on the board for almost 20 years. She also recently retired as an investment advisor after 24 years. Hi, Jenny. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a great way to start the day. And it's a special day because it's our fearless leader, Dave Breen, the CEO of Special Olympics Illinois, birthday. So a little shout out to start the day to Dave, and really happy to be here.
Most definitely. So go ahead.
Okay. Before we get started, Lisa and I would just like to say how grateful we are for all your help and friendship. We really do appreciate to us, we just don't see you as a mentor and a good friend, but we also see you as a part of our family as well.
Well, I feel the same way about both of you. And so thank you for being a part of my family. And it's been so fun to be a part of this journey together with both of you and to see all of the great work that you're doing with amazing individuals and your leadership, both on the field and on the court and in the community. And so thank you so, so much for having me and for your friendship.
Mm-hmm. Anytime. So can you tell our listeners where you're from and how you got involved with Special Olympics?
Sure. I grew up in a south suburb of Chicago, about 45 minutes southwest of the city, called Orland Park. And I only live one town over from there right now, so not too far. But I grew up in Orland, and I got involved with Special Olympics really in college. I played basketball. Some of my stuff back there, where you can see there's some basketball back there. But I played basketball at the U of C, and I was part of something called the Women's Athletic Association there. And one of the volunteer projects we did very early on, I believe it was the end of my freshman year spring, we, University of Chicago and Hyde Park, hosted the track program for the spring games. And it was the first time that I had seen Special Olympics full on. And so we volunteered and we sponsored a team called Ada S. McKinley, who I still know and I know is still going strong. And we just had such an incredible time with the athletes of Special Olympics. And I learned so much from them. I loved the joy that they expressed. I love how they competed so hard. I loved how they really picked each other up and were so brave in the attempt, as we know as the oath. And I ended up saying, this is something I wanted to do going forward. So I ended up volunteering the next 3 years in school and then found a way to continue to volunteer ever since. And it's my 25-year reunion. So I guess if you add that all up, it's getting close to 30 years that I've been so grateful and so honored and humbled to be a part of the movement as a volunteer all these years.
Well, thank you for all your service too. So
thank you.
What made you want to get involved in Special Olympics?
You know, I think it was in the beginning. If you haven't gone to an event, I just recommend it. It's one of the most joy-filled and just awesome experiences that I've ever had in my life. And it continues to be that way. As you know, it just kind of sucks you in and gives you the big bear hug. And once you go, you kind of never look back. And so I'd say it's a lot of the things that I was mentioning it. It was, to me, it's sports at its best, in terms of what I believe sports to be all about teamwork, about competing, about being the best you can be. I saw how it gave confidence, and I love that it actually showed people what the athletes of Special Olympics could do, as opposed to being focused maybe sometimes on a lot of what they hear that they cannot do. And I remember seeing an athlete that had fallen in a track meet and another athlete next to him who was competing, you know, technically against him, stopped his race and picked that athlete up. And I've not seen that once now. I've seen it many, many times. And that just struck me. And I said, you know, that's a movement I want to be a part of. And since then, it's truly been one of the best things that's ever happened to me in my life. And we'll spend the rest of my life giving back really all that Special Olympics has given to me and to my family. It's just been an incredible part of my life.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I like about Special Olympics as well, as you know, the caring or the camaraderie. It feels like family basically, but it's also like you said, when somebody struggles or whatever. And that's maybe one of the things about the athlete leadership program too, is like, you know, we learn that, you know, if somebody's struggling or falls or whatever, you know, to help that, you know, that person, right?
Yeah, I did that a couple of years back, did exactly what you did. And then it's like, I mean, you're going to come out, you're a winner either way, you know, whatever you come in. But if someone struggles, help them and help over that person and so they can finish the race. So that way Absolutely. They're not scratched.
And when you think about that mindset, and mm-hmm. if everyone brought that mindset to our world today, and so many of the issues that we're seeing, I just really believe that it would be a better place. So it's a great place to start. And the other great thing that I see about Special Olympics now is I see it in my own kids. I have three teenagers, a senior, a sophomore, and an eighth grader. And I see now that they've been a part of volunteering and a part of the movement, that it changes, you know, their mindset as well. And just the idea of athletes with and without disabilities, which I know we'll talk about later, I hope, just that ability for those athletes to come together and to play together and to work together and to be in community together. To me, valuing the gifts that all of us have, and I think Special Olympics finds a way to see that in everyone. And then you take that out into the job site, or you take that into your school, or you know, your community, and I think that is really the beauty of what this movement does more globally.
Actually, that leads into our next question. So how do you think that Special Olympics as a movement has grown and improved, you know, throughout the years?
Yeah, it's been amazing to see the growth. I mean, it really has, not only in the numbers we serve, but also in some of the programs that we're able to offer over the last couple of decades. So, you know, just a few that some may or may not be aware of. One of them is our athlete leaders, which both of you are amazingly a part of. But I love that program because it's working on skills for leadership that not only do the athletes use when they're competing with their teammates, but also able to use in the community. And from that, I've seen athletes hired. Kurt, I know you're working. We were just talking about this pre-program at Lou Malnati's. And we need more individuals of all kinds of talents and diversity, including neurodiversity in the workplace. And the thing I love probably most about athlete leadership is I'm seeing the athletes now go out and spread their wings and fly in the community, which is so needed. The other one that has just taken off is healthy athletes. So for those that don't know, this is the idea of, and actually Special Olympics globally is the largest health organization for individuals with intellectual disabilities. And it's everything from helping to train doctors and dentists and all different professions, by the way, but in the health community, how to work with individuals with intellectual disabilities, as well as those individuals coming out to our events and doing screenings for free. And I have heard so many amazing stories from that. I've heard of an athlete who couldn't express that he was having a toothache get checked by our program that works with dentists. And he was at an event. They thought it was a cavity, and it turns out it was mouth cancer, and they saved his life. Okay. I've seen for my own two eyes. I've just went to the doctor and got new glasses. I'm getting used to them. But I know what a gift that is when you can see better. And I've seen athletes who didn't know really what it was like to be able to see through the opening eyes program and get glasses for the first time, or hearing aids and be able to hear for the first time, or proper shoes that fit correctly with the podiatry program, and so many other things. So the healthy athlete programs, where we screen tens of thousands of athletes each year, is amazing. And maybe one of my favorites, just because I've seen it with my own children and the impact it's made on their lives, is Unified Champion Schools. And this concept of athletes with and without intellectual disabilities playing together on the same court, the same field, and what that does. And my boys just volunteered at Marist High School, where they go, I think it was 2 weekends ago, for basketball, and they came home and they were so fired up, and they had such a great experience working together with the athletes of Special Olympics. So those are just three programs that I'd say over the last decade have really developed and have added so much to the movement. And there's many more, but those are really special ones in my heart.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, it's not a Unified Champion School yet, but I know we have the partnership we have with Northwestern. I know, you know, a lot of the, like when I had track yesterday, you know, a lot of the students, like, you know, are amazed at what we can do, or, you know, and then they say that their lives have just, you know, totally changed. Or like my cousin goes to Butler, and he did the polar plunge last weekend, but he said the reason why he got involved was because he's on the exec board there, but is because both of us inspired him to do it. So, you know, so again, I think, like you said, I think the Unified Championship Schools are one of the great things, and hopefully we can move forward to that, because then that goes again to what we're pushing with the athlete leadership, which is, you know, the unified leadership, you know, piece of it too. So hopefully that we can continue to grow that. So
I love it. And I think it's schools at all levels, everything from grade school to high school to colleges of all types. So like I said, that's how I first got involved. And I'm so grateful for that every day. And University of Chicago, I went back to a basketball game, and at halftime, the athletes were playing. And so they're still doing it all these years later, which really made me so very happy to see.
Yeah, I know our basketball team, we always, all three of our teams, Northwestern has us played during halftime during the women's games, you know, sometimes against other teams. So that's nice. So we always look forward to doing that. So
it's awesome. Awesome.
So go ahead.
What challenges do you think Special Olympics still needs to overcome?
Well, we've done so much. But what keeps me going every day is that there's still so, so, so much work left to be done. And so I would probably answer that in a couple parts. One is we need to continue to reach more individuals with intellectual disabilities. They are out there. We learned that during COVID, when we couldn't necessarily host physical events, but I was excited because we found a way to flip it and reach individuals in different ways, through video, through social media, through other components. And I think what it made us, you know, just really opened our eyes to is how many more are out there that we can serve. So just in terms of numbers, I believe the latest numbers are that Special Olympics International serves 5.5 million athletes, but estimates show there's probably 200 million individuals with intellectual disabilities. So 5.5 is a great number, but there's a lot more that we need to find and to reach and to help in any way we can. So I would say that's number one. Number two is I do believe we are moving the needle in terms of inclusion and valuing individuals' differences and seeing that as a positive. But again, there's still places where there's stigma. And I think certain cultures that are certain areas, both in the United States and outside, where we need to bring people out of the darkness and into the light of seeing the world in this beautiful mosaic that it is, and seeing it for that beauty. And so I do think that there's work to be done in terms of the language that we use. I loved when I went to Special Olympics, the World Games in Abu Dhabi, the UAE actually changed their terminology while we were there. And instead of individuals with special needs, or instead of disabilities, they change the language to people of determination. And I love that. And I just think it starts with how we talk about individuals. And I know in a lot of Unified Champion schools, there is still a campaign, because unfortunately the word is still used, the R word, which I won't even repeat. But, you know, and instead of having that word, have it be for respect, and signing a pledge to say that. So I think that's pretty amazing. And most recently, what I've learned with my work, I joined the Special Olympics International Board probably about 4 years ago. And it was really eye-opening to see globally where we're at, which is in certain countries, there is really a lot of work to be done. And if you haven't seen it yet, I would encourage everyone that's listening to go online and view a new documentary that's out. And it's called As Far As They Can Run. And it's a documentary about three athletes in Pakistan and their journey. And it's one of the most moving pieces I've seen in a very long time. But there's still a lot of work to be done globally on making sure that people see the value of individuals with all kinds of abilities. And I think that documentary does a really good job of it. So that's what keeps me going. Great work has been done, but the best is yet to come. And we need to keep working together every single day to make it happen.
Yeah, that's one of the, when you talk about inclusion, that's one of the reasons why the project I'm working on for Berlin I started is because, like you said, I'm really passionate about having, you know, us kind of be people like us be more included, you know, in the community. And I think if that starts with your state programs, you know, of people, more individuals getting hired, you know, to work, because I think it helps that, you know, your programs just don't see you on the field. They have an opportunity to see your talents off the field as well. So.
Yeah, I agree, Lisa. I mean, I think if, don't quote me on it, but the unemployment rate for individuals with intellectual disabilities is still off the charts. You might know it, but I believe it's 85 to 87%.
Yeah, still? The last time I looked, it was 85, I think. Yeah.
Right. And so that needs to be changed. You know, that needs to be changed, because I have seen firsthand, and it might be one of the things we talk about, but one of the best things that I love most about my work on the board of Special Olympics was working alongside my colleagues who are on the board, who are Special Olympians. And that has been for the past number of years, for 20 years, there's always been Special Olympic athletes on the board. And I will tell you, because of that, I fought for individuals with neurodiversity to be in my place of employment prior, when I was an investment advisor. And every single board that I'm on, I try to fight for diversity of all kind, because part of being a leader, I think, and being able to lead as a team is being able to see things from different perspectives, and is able to bring that to the table to make the organization the best it can be. And if everyone's thinking one way, you're not the best, because you are leaving different thoughts out, you're leaving different ways to attack a problem out. And I saw that really firsthand when we did the 50th anniversary, which I can't believe was 4.5 years ago. We're coming up on 55 years with Special Olympics starting at Soldier Field in Chicago. And And we had a lot of athlete members helping us on that 50th work. And there were days where we'd be stuck on a question or an issue, and it would be the athlete that was on our board who helped come up with the answer or get us more focused on really what the task at hand was. And it was phenomenal. So I do believe that we need to continue to do better here. And I'm so grateful to the work that you and Kurt are doing to make that happen and to spread this. And this podcast is just awesome as one component of that. But your project for getting more and more athletes involved, not only at Special Olympics, but outside, is just, it's really, really great work. So I commend you, and I look forward to helping in any way I can.
Well, thank you. And again, like I said, you know, that's just like, that's one of the reasons why what you want to coach, right? And volunteer, mm-hmm. and what you're going to volunteer, because you want to give back.
Yep. I've been doing this since 79. So it's like, wow. You know, it's like, you know, and I'm not doing powerlifting anymore in basketball. But those are the ones I definitely want to coach basketball, because I'm really good at it. And I've seen how, I've been on the sidelines, and I've seen how people react about, like, you know, what certain things are. And so
I love that. When I went to the Special Olympics USA Games this summer, we were there together, had such an incredible, amazing time. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite moments was seeing one of my co-chairs from the Special Olympics 50th, Eric Bauman. He was a coach. And seeing him celebrate with his team and his team high-fiving him after they won it all, it was probably one of my favorite moments of the whole USA Games experience. And so I agree. I think there's so much that we can continue to do to evolve. And I love that you're coaching. I'm a basketball coach too.
I'm working on it though, but eventually, you know, if I become an assistant and then become a coach, but I'm taking it step by step. I'm not rushing it.
He just has to find a team that'll let him do it. So
yeah.
And I love
once
it.
Once that happens, then I'm going to go straight forward.
You will be a great coach. And if you ever want to compare notes on inbounds plays or the plays, let me know. Cause
I will.
It'll be a lot of fun too.
Okay. Oh, I just want to let you know, my boss is, he has a son that has a disability. And he's still too young to do Special Olympics, but I told him that Special Olympics, it would be a really good thing for him when he gets another couple more years before he can get involved and play.
Yeah, and then you also talked about one of our neighbor's grandsons, and he's gonna in a couple of years he's gonna play unified bocce with you. So
yep.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I, you know, you mentioned programs. It's probably the other one I should have mentioned, because it's one of my favorites, is Young Athletes Program.
Yeah.
So, again, for those that may not be aware, Special Olympics starts at the competitive level at age 8. But one of the best programs that I think has been introduced in the last decade is Young Athletes, which starts ages 2 to 8. And that's very, it's a simple program, but in terms of how you just get up and running and started, but they'll send you a kit and you can actually, again, involve individuals with and without intellectual differences in your community, ages 2 to 8, to learn the skills and it's sort of prep work for getting into your sport. And so Young Athletes is the name of it. So if you have any younger ones out there, ages 2 to 8, Google it, and we can help you get connected to a Young Athletes Program near you, because it is so fun to see the littles out there getting ready to go.
Right.
What does it mean to you as a board member to have athlete leaders be part of Special Olympics?
Yeah, you know, as I was saying earlier, to me, that's been one of the most valuable and rewarding parts of the whole experience. I'll never forget my very first board meeting for Special Olympics Illinois, and this is going back now probably 20 years at least, was I walked into the night before, we always have a social, and I walked in to this, if you can picture this, there was karaoke going on, and It was Carrie Ganser, who some of you may know. She's a dear friend of mine. We remained friends for all these years, 2 decades. And Sarah Boyce, who is, I know, smiling down from us and from heaven right now. And Carrie and Sarah were having the time of their lives belting out this karaoke song. And they are, and at the time they were athlete board members, which is why the story is relevant. But they were there. And I remember standing next to Carrie's and then Sarah's mom. And Carrie's mom, her jaw was just dropped. And she said, "I can't believe that's, you know, that's my daughter up there." And I said, "Oh, that's your daughter, which one?" And she said, "Yeah, the one that's belting this out." She said she was so quiet in high school. And really, you know, had, you know, a handful of friends maybe, but it was just a really quiet, kept to herself. And in Special Olympics, she found her voice. And I think one of the things that I valued so much about having athlete board members was hearing these incredible ideas that the athletes had to make not only Special Olympics better, but the world better. And when you give someone the gift of being listened to and respected and a voice, what can transform is truly incredible. And I've seen that time and time and time again. And so, yes, I think the having athletes that are peers and friends and family has by far been the best part of being a part of the board, I would say. And it opened my eyes to the realization that net needs to be not only the Special Olympics board, but every board I'm a part of, or every job that I'm a part of, just making sure that everyone's voice is being heard and that differing views are at the table. It's really important.
Yeah, most definitely. I agree. And that's like when we go, well, when we go to Starbucks and we'll ask, you know, they don't even, half the time they won't even know that we have an intellectual disability. When they find out, they don't care, you know, because like,
right.
they'll help, you know, what, give him money for the polar plunge and stuff. And what, sometimes that's the first time they know that, you know, he has,
yeah.
You know, and, or that both of us have an intellectual disability, because they wouldn't know, you know, but also, you know, and, but it's nice to be, you know, treated like, no, not normal, but, you know, just like everybody else.
Yes.
You
know, like, exactly. And we're getting there, but there's still work to be done for sure.
Exactly.
I have a friend that I've known the majority of my life, and he told me, his name is Josh, and he said that you look like you don't have a disability, and the you know, the way you act and stuff like that, you know, you're like me, you're just a regular person. But you know, my mom taught me well, so.
And, you know, and in the end, right, in the end, maybe that's how we should all think about each other, right? I mean, we all have different abilities, not right. Necessarily, you know, it doesn't have to be a disability. I think about the individuals that I've met through this, and the first thing I see is their unique abilities. Right. And I think Special Olympics taught me that, I just feel that the world would be a better place if we all thought a little more like that, because we all have things we're working on.
Right, exactly.
We all have, you know, quote unquote, you know, disabilities in a way. And so if we can see the abilities that people have and look more toward that, and that's what I think, especially this Unified Champion Schools program does, and it teaches younger students to learn to think that way. You go on and you look at the studies, and they're more likely to hire individuals who have differences, not only intellectually, but more diversity too. And so it kind of comes back to this concept of diversity and inclusion in a really cool way.
And I just hope that, yeah, as much as we've moved to inclusion, like, you know, I know that a lot of people, when they find out like him and I are married, you know, or that we're in a relationship, it's like, you know, they're like, you know, they're shocked that, you know, oh, you have disabilities, but you guys can be, you know, married as well. And it's like, yeah, it's not like, you know, we can't.
Right.
So can you believe that our anniversary is coming up, 14 years?
Oh my goodness, congratulations.
Yeah,
14. Yeah. That is
that's
awesome.
Another reason, yeah, see, Jenny, that's another reason why everybody kind of is shocked, is like, you've been married, you know, it's like,
right.
or that we can live independently or whatever, you know? And it's like, you know,
yes,
like you said, everybody has something different, you know? And it's like, whenever I hear, you know, you don't look like you have a disability. It's like, well, what does it, you know,
what does it really look like? Right.
You know, my thing of it is like day by day, you know, like during the week, through Monday through Friday, I take things day by day. You know, that's just the way I see it. I know exactly what I have got to do when I come in the morning, I work. So it works out well. Same.
Well, I got to come to Lou Malnati's and have lunch sometime.
It's on me. Just mention my name.
I'll leave a good tip.
Yeah. So go ahead.
All right.
Oh, I see you. Oh, there we go. You were a little frozen. Okay.
Outside of Special Olympics, what are some of your favorite things like to do? And what is one thing that people may not know about you?
Ooh, that's a good one. Okay. So I guess I have a lot of interest. I love coaching. I think we've talked about that earlier, but when I played basketball in college, like we talked about, and I just loved basketball as my passion. But what is amazing to me is that I love coaching even more. And I didn't know that would be possible, but I coached my daughter's eighth grade school team, Cardinal Bernardine, go Cardinals. And my coach growing up, Mark DeHertog, he coached me over 35 years ago. And I asked him if he would teach me how to coach. And so 6 years he came out of retirement and we started coaching together. And it's been such a special, fun relationship. And so we helped develop with a number of other people, something called Windy City Elite, and it's a travel girls program. So we coached that together. And then I had the opportunity to coach my son in basketball too, which is a lot of fun. So coaching and going to my kids' activities, as well as spending time with my family, I just absolutely love. The other piece I would say is giving back and volunteering. So part of the reason I decided to retire, I loved where I worked, Goldman Sachs. It was such a special place, and I was there for 24 years. And it was a hard decision, but I really wanted to take all that I've learned over the years there and find a way to do more in the nonprofit space. And so I've joined some additional boards, which has been really rewarding and fun. So in addition to Special Olympics, I joined Misericordia, who many know, which is just a really amazing place that
I help out with Candy Day.
Oh, you do? Oh, great. Yeah. We need all the help.
So I'm part of that.
So,
Sister Mary sends me a thing in the mail.
Oh, Sister Rosemary and Lois.
Yeah, Rosemary.
And all of them are amazing. So, yeah. Misericordia Foundation Board, I recently joined the LETR, the Law Enforcement Torch Run International Council. For those that don't know the law enforcement, they're the ones who do all the polar plunges and all kinds of things to support Special Olympics globally. And this year they are on pace to break $1 billion
that's
been donated to Special Olympics since their movement began. So they are also holding the council big conference in Chicago this year. So we're super excited about that.
That's one of your favorite fundraisers to do anything for the torch run. So
because
it's polar plunge,
anything with the torch run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The officers and what they do and give back is absolutely phenomenal, incredible.
I always go up there and I always ask them for a business card or if I can get a patch or a hat, you know. But that's when they give me the card. Just send me an email and I'll see what I can do.
Well, it's also because like he's volunteered for our local police officers for like over 35 years. So that's kind of why he likes it too. So,
well, I was going to say, I went to your ceremony. Yeah. So remind me, that was for,
so I had graduated from this. We have a citizen police academy, and he had done it a long time ago, and he talked me into doing it. So, but like I said, I mean, it's like, it's funny. It's like, even when like, we'll see police officers on the streets, you know, at Starbucks or something, they'll stop and talk to us, or, you know, and, or they'll like, help us raise, give us money to, you know, for the Special Olympics or whatever, figure it out. So
I think that is so cool that you were community police, and that that ceremony was really moving.
And my thing, and my thing, and my thing of it is, since I've been doing it for so long, is I'll never retire. I'm not from there. So.
I love it. Like, well, we need all the community that we can get in that regard. Yeah. So, and giving back. And, yeah. You know, the other thing that I wanted to mention is, as some of you know, unfortunately, we lost my mom to a terrible disease called ALS.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Also known as Gehrig's disease. And you two were so supportive during time in her journey. And I'm so, talk about family and being there for someone. And ALS is interesting because for all these years, I have work for and under tried to learn more about intellectual disabilities, and ALS is almost the opposite, where it robs you of your physical abilities while your mental capacity is still there. And so I made it a point and promised my mom and my family that I wouldn't rest until we find a cure and until we can do more to help those individuals. And so I'm in the process of working with some new boards there. One is Hop on a Cure. John Driscoll Hopkins of Zach Brown Band and his wife Jen are leading the charge on Hop on a Cure. And so we're so excited about that. And then I Am ALS, which was started by Brian and Sandra here in Chicago, are doing just some really great work to help advocate and change laws. And I realized that there's so much work to be done on the physical disability side too. And so to see it from both angles has been really eye-opening to me. And I feel like a calling to be helpful there. And then the last two, Big Shoulders Fund, which is Inner City Catholic Schools. And we started a program called All Are Welcome to help better serve individuals with special needs in the Catholic school system, which I'm really excited about to see those worlds come together. And then the DePaul, I just joined the board of trustees for DePaul, who have been incredible partners and friends of Special Olympics, did so much for us at the 50th, and just recently hosted our, and you said you do some basketball at halftime. We just had athletes up at DePaul playing at halftime there for the basketball game. And so they're wonderful partners of the movement. So it's fun when all these worlds combine, and just love giving back. So I think you'd ask me something people don't know about me. I mean, there's like the fun ones, you know, that I'm terrible in the kitchen. I burned ramen once in college. My roommates tend to tell me about that and remind me of that one. I was on the Bozo show and missed bucket number 3, which is really not good back in the day. So I kind of spent the rest of my life trying to shoot 3-pointers, make up for it.
So what were your prizes?
I won. Oh, they were terrible. I won. The kid in front of me was much younger and won the bike and the $50 for all you Bozo show fans out there. I won Archway cookies and a game called Boggle, and my younger siblings were so sad because I didn't win the Atari nor the $50 nor any of the other presents. So I try to make it up to them to this day. But, you know, on a serious note, I think many know that I have identical twin nephews, Johnny and Mikey, who are the light of our lives. They both are Special Olympians. They're going to be 21 this year. We can't believe it. And seeing my family, my kids, be together with their cousins that they're just so proud of is just the best. But I think what people don't realize maybe is I had been involved with Special Olympics for 7 years before they were even born or diagnosed. And I give that a tribute to God. I always say the Lord works in mysterious ways, and was so grateful to be a part of that movement before because of college. But then to have seen this movement, not only as a volunteer or board member, but to see this movement through the eyes of a family member and what that has meant for John and Mike and my brother and sister-in-law and their family. As my brother always said, and I always get choked up when I think about it, but their first Special Olympics meet, which I have a picture in my house of because it was one of my favorite moments of my life, when they won their medals, and my brother Tommy said, you know, this is the first time that we were able to celebrate our boys and what they could do, instead of being told all the milestones they missed and all the things they couldn't. And seeing my little kids at the time high five their cousins and celebrate them and continue to celebrate them to this day as they're 21 and off doing awesome things is really to see what it does for families is something, like I said, probably at the beginning, that I'll spend the rest of my life trying to give back to Special Olympics, all that it has done for me and for my family. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I'm just so grateful to be part of this movement.
Yeah, I know that, you know, every time we've met your nephews, they've just, you know, we've always, you know, enjoyed, you know, seeing them and stuff, you know, so, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But,
yeah, they're characters. It's so much fun.
Yeah, yeah, so. Well, that wraps up another episode of Amazing Individuals. Kurt and I would like to thank Jenny Fortner for being on our show today. We both appreciate how much you do for the athletes as well as for all of us. We don't just see you as a great friend, but as a mentor and part of our family as well.
Well, thank you both for having me. I was so humbled and honored to be a part of this awesome show. And thank you for being my extended family. I love you both dearly. And thank you for all that you're doing to lead and to lead great and to be amazing and showing everyone out there what exactly you can do with all the gifts and talents that God has given each and every one of us. So thank you for being amazing yourselves and keep leading, keep fighting, keep up the incredible work. I'm just so very humbled, honored, and proud to be a part of this. So thank you for having me. Sure. And I will see you at the Polar Plunge, and I will see you at hopefully First Look for Charity if anyone can make it. It's a great event where you get to head out and dress up in your black tie and go see the auto show, but also support some amazing causes, including Special Olympics and Misericordia and others that are going to be there. So thank you again for having me. I wish you all the best. And I'll see you at Lou Malnati's very soon. Okay. Kurt. All right.
So thank you. We just want to please remember to subscribe to our channel on YouTube and wherever you listen to your podcast for make great episodes.
Before we leave today, Lisa and I would like to thank our very special friend for sponsoring our podcast. Also, we would like to remind everyone to make sure to get their COVID vaccine as well as their boosters. If you've not already done so, you're not just doing it for yourself, but you're doing it for the whole world.
So we hope everyone will stay healthy and safe. And remember that people with intellectual disabilities can do whatever they want with the right supports. And again, a special shout out to our CEO, Dave Green, whose birthday it is today.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dave.